now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is Bernard Gunther, a good friend of ours. We've been guests on each other's show, and Bernard has a lot of valuable information to share today. So without any further ado, Bernard, old friend, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, James. Good to see you again.
Well, you raised some key issues lately, and you quoted the work of a German author who's looked at this from the empiricist standpoint, that there is much more to this unfolding agenda than merely a materialist reductionist form of oppression, that there's a spiritual backdrop behind it, even to the point of how the so-called treatments play into the spirit world and the potential impact it may have on the afterlife, on one's soul. I mean, that's how deep this stuff gets. So yeah, if you want to, you know, kickstart that and go in any direction, you've got the floor, Bernard.
No, thank you, James. We might have a little delay, so excuse the audience. So basically Thomas Meyer's work, which he wrote a book, a fascinating book called Corona Vaccines from the Spiritual Perspective, Consequences on Soul and Spirit in the Life After Death. That's a translated English title. The original book came out in German, and there's been a PDF going around documented with like about 100 pages, an excerpt from this book, which I also sent you, and that's available online. But the original book in German has 491 pages and goes really deep into that aspect. We'll be sharing about, but on a nutshell, you know, just to go back a little bit, you know, you, James, knows, your audience knows as well, that there's way more to the Matrix agenda than just the physical enslavement of humanity, New World Order. We understand the occult agenda, hyperdimensional matrix, the alien, negative alien agenda, however you may want to call it. These beings have been given different names throughout the ages, right? And so, you know, I've already written about this a few years ago. We have to really understand the deeper aspects, the end game, the end intention of the Matrix forces and what that really is. And I always call it the alien invasion through our bodies, right? What they really want to do, they want to create and have been building up. That doesn't start, by the way, just 2-3 years ago. As you know, there's building up for thousands and thousands of years. Genetic manipulation by other beings and alien interference with the human evolution in all of that, the priming of social engineering, everything ties together, which we can also get into the whole woke cult, the COVID cult, transhumanism, all of it is interrelated, right? With this takeover of humanity and the war on the human spirit, basically. But it's really important to understand that the ultimate goal, you know, which I wrote I wrote an essay about six, seven years ago, Timeline, Reality, Split, Frequency, Vibration, and Hidden Forces of Life, that is about the so-called takeover, right, of the physical vehicle, the body, by the occult anti-divine forces, priming and genetically modifying human bodies for incarnational opportunities, right, or yes, opportunities. In short, full-on body snatching, soul snatching, and possession via dislodging the spirit, the essence from the body, in order to put in their essence. These forces need our bodies to operate within this world. So it's basically a program of hybridization, right? Priming humanity's transmutation to shell vessels for hyperdimensional possession. So that's in a nutshell, it's a loaded word, but that's what we're up against. And we've seen it, you know, in your work as well, through the idea ages, you know, ties into the alien abduction program and all of that. We all know that, but now it has really, we're now in the end game. It has intensified. And really what's fascinating, going back to this paper of Thomas Meyer, he has really validated my own research and insights about what the vaccinations are truly about. You know, from this deeper matrix perspective, because we know on the basic level, people of common sense and applying true science, not the Church of Scientists, we know these jabs are not good for you. They're toxic on physical levels. There are already many people dying from the vaccines, which are being denied, heart attacks, all kinds of immunity issues. Laura, my wife, and me, we just talked about more and more people have issues of their hair falling out as well. Like all kinds of weirdness is happening. Infertility, and all of that, rising cancer cases, all related to the vaccine, which obviously the mainstream media, the mainstream Church of Scientism cult denies and all of that and tries to divert the attention from. But there are deeper metaphysical consequences of this vaccine, which I also wrote an article about a couple of years ago. And it's all based on something Rudolf Steiner said over 100 years ago, right? He really prophesied that. And Thomas Meyer, in his book, Corona Vaccines from the Spiritual Perspective, opens up his book with a quote from Rudolf Steiner from 1917, just two sentences. People will be inoculated against their disposition towards spiritual ideas. The materialistic physicians will be entrusted with the task of expelling the souls from mankind. So that's really the foundation. Now, you know, I'm sure you can link the PDF also to your audience for people to kind of read it themselves. And I'm also, like I said, I mentioned to you, I'm in the process of writing a very long essay based addressing Thomas Meyer's work and bringing in other aspects of my work and other areas you are familiar with as well, with Tycho, the alien agenda, earthbound spirit possession, and all of that, and kind of like see it in light from the Matrix agenda. Because Thomas Meyer, his background, by the way, is in depth Steiner's work, Rudolf Steiner's work, right? Anthroposophy and supersensible research. So that's really what it's based on. And he has a lot of experience, like over 30 years, you know, doing the supersensible research. And he has contacted over 50 people, healers, practitioners, therapists that are also very well versed in Steiner's work. And they're supersensible practitioners who can enter these worlds, who can see these energies and entities, you know. And they've worked on various, on many different vaccinated people and came across a very disturbing picture of seeing how these vaccines affect people on the spiritual physical level and literally dislodge the soul, the eye, the astral body. A lot of what he writes about is based on the cosmology of Rudolf Steiner's work, but you can see just, you know, many other esoteric traditions use the same words or different words in their own way, but hint at the same issue or cosmology, and that the real eye, the essence, is being removed more and more from the center, right? That's one aspect. And then other beings come in, seradic beings, other entities that take over the vehicle. And he goes even deeper. He also super sensibly tuned into the vaccine itself, the substance, and that already entails, contains a seradic being, a demonic entity that literally is being injected into the people. And that has obviously extreme detrimental effects. Now, what's fascinating to understand, to know, is that most vaccinated people don't know that they are, that's happening, that they're not even aware of that, right? There's been many cases, Thomas Meyer and his research team were working on vaccinated people. They didn't even know that it was anything going on, but on an energetic or auric level, they saw that the body was being taken over by these seratic beings. Now, one of the few characteristics of that as well is really fascinating. They observed that people getting vaccinated, they're getting more identified with the ego personality. They get more pushed into the lower self. They become more hardened into material, into just material reality, right? So they're basically exactly what Rudolf Steiner said. They're being removed from any spiritual insight or like even discouraged to engage in any spirituality because the view and the whole life becomes a materialistic based, which is also the essence of transhumanism, as we know, right? I mean, sorry if I'm keep going on and going. I'm just trying to summarize this bulk of work he's gone into. And it's, you know, I really give him a lot of credit, you know, because it's really well researched, very German, I have to say. But I want to make some points clear, which he also said almost as a disclaimer. It's really important to understand. Because with this information, as you know, we have been in this for a long time, and many people who maybe come get new into this information, they may freak out, right? Fear, doom and gloom. Oh my God, we are lost. The zombification of humanity, which is also, yes, it is happening. But he makes very clear we have to be so looking at it soberly, no matter how disturbing it is. But let's not get into doom and gloom or fear. And he also makes a very important point: be very careful of generalizations, right? I just looked up the numbers, by the way. As of today, I literally looked up today, 5.16 billion people are fully vaccinated in the world with the, one of the four COVID vaccines, right? That's 60% of humanity. That's insane. I think over 11, almost 12 billion doses have been given. So many people have been double, triple vaxxed as well. In the US alone, 220 million have been vaccinated, over 60%. So that's a lot, right? So if you think of the implications that these people are getting possessive entities, their souls being destroyed, become vessels for other forces, and all of that, they become also more authoritarian followers. Interesting, in this research, he found out as well that when people that are subjected to these vaccines, they lose their inner guidance, right? Because the soul is being more expelled, so to speak, and hence look for guidance outside more and more. The literary reports of some of the people saying that they want order, they want to be told what to do. So they become these matrix agents, right? Which is key for the matrix agenda as well. These authoritarian followers who just want to literally zombification, just being told what they want to do. And they obviously they police others as well, as we know matrix agents do unconsciously. But going back to what he mentioned, let's be careful of generalizations, which means he makes the point very clear that these, why there's common threats in these vaccines and in the research he's done on vaccinated people, it still affects everyone differently. We need to be careful of that, because you know, and I know, we see sometimes people get too much in generalizations and then project on all their stuff on vaccinated people. We don't want to get into that and demonize anyone who's vaccinated either, right? So we need to be careful of assumption. Many unknown factors come in. On the very basic level, has this person been vaccinated only one, two, or three times? What is their spiritual, emotional, and psychological constitution to begin with? Their level of being, right? You say people who have a high level of being, more spiritualized already, have done some work on themselves, a higher soul embodiment, are not as badly, quote unquote, affected than others. So all these unknown factors come in, and then, you know, our continuing work, what you do with your everyday life, karmic lessons, soul lessons, all of that, right? With 7-8 billion people on this planet, we know there are vast different levels of soul lessons. So we cannot make these generalizations. What I'm trying to say is basically, as disturbing as it looks, it doesn't mean there are now all of a sudden 5.16 billion zombies out there who are just robots, authoritarian followers. Yeah, many of them, yes, even the majority. But on a positive note, he has seen also a lot of healing being done with deeper work, deeper spiritual work, right? Based on Rudolf Steiner's work, even body work, craniosacral work, to help bring the soul back, to help heal the entry point, so to speak. But also a follow-up work is needed for the vaccinated themselves in order to heal the entry points, right? To take care of their own emotional, psychological, and spiritual health. That's really what it comes down to. As you know, whatever is trying to get to us needs an entry point, right? Where they can tag into. So the self-work in this instance is very key. But he's also, you know, he also makes another very important point, you know, with his work, because that's, I address this in my article as well. I just want to hint that, as you know, there's a lot of nonsense out there in the fringe new age world, right? With people offering all kinds of sketchy healings, entity removals, and energy work, or who knows, right? So he has even said we need to be careful, and he even mentioned that it takes years of practice, in-depth meditation, and especially working with one's own inner shadows and study of anthroposophy or other sciences of the soul and the spiritual world. Before engaging in this work, it is important that the research rests on the broad background of experience. This is very key, because what he noticed too, that people, that his research team of super sensible therapists working on the vaccinated were then also obviously attacked by these forces, right? So you really have to know what you're doing, so to speak, and not just run to the next person who's just trying to remove entities. And also, lastly, just to, on this summary, want to finish up, we all probably know people who have been vaccinated, friends, family, right? So there's the danger of just like, oh, I'm not going to engage with anyone. No, I don't personally hold this view. My parents has been vaccinated. I'm going to visit them. I'm going to see them. I'm going to trust my own spiritual immune system embodiment that I won't just take anything on. I don't want to get into the same paranoia like the COVID cults gets with the unvaccinated, right? So we're just in this polarization and separation. Having said that, you know, some boundaries I will be making, you know, personally, as you know, maybe follows my work. Now, I enjoy body work, hands-on work. I only go to therapists who have not been vaccinated, right? So that's kind of my boundary, especially when it comes to hand-on work. But also, we need to be careful not to get in this doom and gloom and separated thinking, with other people who have been vaccinated, right? So we need to, we can also take care of ourselves. Again, it comes down to an entry point. So the moment you get into fear frequency and like, oh my God, am I going to take something on from the unvaccinated, from the vaccinated, you're already feeding the matrix, right? You're already given entry point by that fear projection. So that's kind of like a roundabout. I've been a bit rambling, but I just want to give some little overview of this immense work Thomas Meyer has done.
Well, thank you for that. And what I'll do, just so there's not a distraction with the delay, while I'm talking, I'll just shut off the video. Some key points, well, they're all key points, but what's been coming up to my consciousness, and I actually had Steve Mira back on the show recently, excuse me, and I had him talk at length about it. Because as you know, Bernard, in our field, when we begin investigating, for lack of a better term, phenomena, at some point, depending on circumstances, the phenomena begins investigating you. It becomes an intrusive factor. Things start to happen in your life, what have you. And the point being is this unseen reality, and again, I don't want to create an atmosphere of fear and trepidation around it. The ancients and also the First Nation elders all over the world to this day, yeah, know that we interact and indeed intermesh with, at times, a spirit world, for lack of a better term. So I had Steve Mira come on, and he gave case examples of how when he and his team or other teams he was familiar with were studying hauntings, were studying interdimensional vortex areas, after a while, the intelligences there began to have a malign influence on the investigators. So what we're seeing is with these vaccinations, the nanotech, the luciferase, the graphene, the literal, I think the term is seratic entities that have been infused into the vaccinations, this is where the twain meets. This is where the spirit world was always around us and at times within us, depending on if we had our guard up or not, or if we were going through particular hard times and maybe our defenses were lowered. But now that spirit world is literally being injected into people. And yes, we're seeing the malign influence. Now, you made a very good point about not generalizing, because I know a number of people with great reluctance took these vaccinations. I know people that were crying as yeah, the injections were put into them because they were held over a barrel, family pressure, employment pressure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my heart cries out to them. This is a very oppressive thing that we're all having to deal with. But I wouldn't say my primary concern, but one of my concerns is how this affects the ultimate disposition of what we call the soul. If we're in embodiment, and I use we in the general sense in this case, if mm-hmm, we're still in embodiment and we can be affected to this degree, and not only if we've taken the shots ourselves, but by those around us who've come under this Aramanic type influence, when one looks at it from the ghost in the machine perspective, what the Pentagon or elements of the Pentagon are already calling demonic technology,
yeah,
and this march towards transhumanism, it's, and again, we don't want to create an atmosphere of fear here, but we're just projecting out. If we're looking at, you know, our timeline branching off in one direction or another, or going on a straight and narrow path, I think it behooves us to look at like possible or probable outcomes, but yeah, they can all be changed. In this march towards this transhumanist agenda, and it seems to be that, you know, human beings are not a part of this agenda as we understand them. How has, in your estimation, the spirit world, the supernatural, these intelligences made manifest in our reality, and how it's intensified? Because it seems to me that all across the board, UFO sightings, reports of demonic possessions, even cryptids, there has been a sharp spike in such incidences the world over. So just from your perspective, and I hope I made sense in asking this question, Bernard,
yeah,
you know, explain again how the spirit intertwines with the material and how we shortchange ourselves if we only look at this from a materialist reductionist perspective.
Yeah. So basically, just to be clear, so you're kind of asking how to look, how the this kind of invasion manifests in our world.
Yes.
In the way we see it right now. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Great question. Well, the way I've always seen it from the lens of the occult matrix, we know, like, on the very basic level, I also give like to give the many people listen to your show probably already aware of that, but I like the analogy of the tree, right? You have the tree, the outside branches, and that's kind of like what most people like focus on when they say they're called red pilled, right? Which this word in itself almost lost its meaning. Yeah, more people are called waking up, meaning they're not really waking up in the true meaning of the word. They're having some more intellectual understanding of the corruption in the world that we're being lied to by governments, institutions, pharmaceuticals, and all of that, right? So that's great to expose, but that's just the outer layer symptomatic aspect of the matrix, as you know. Then you go a bit deeper into the branches, right? You're still a bit hidden. Then we go come across, as you know, what people call Illuminati, secret society, you know, PSYOPs, MKUltra projects, and all of even the UFO phenomena, the military industrial complex, and all of that. But ultimately, the root underneath the earth, so to speak, in the tree model, the root of the matrix is the hyperdimensional cult forces, Luciferian, satanic. Whatever you may want to call it, as you know, they have been given different names by different traditions, whatever you look at it, archons. You know, I always like, personally, I like to use the expression occult hostile forces from Sri Aurobindo's work, who I'm a big student of integral yoga. But whatever name you give them, there's something else outside our physical reality that influence interferes with this, the harmonious evolution of humanity. They're kind of like this Vatico virus, as Paul Levy calls it, right? This alien virus has taken over humanity. But the way it manifests, and it's building up already for decades and even centuries, or thousands of years. Again, it didn't start 2 years ago. The way I see it, if you look at the world, it's almost like an alien civilization that's being created through us, because we are so removed from nature, from our spirit, from God, from the divine, from natural law. And we live in a world where pathology has become normalized, right? As Krishnamurti always says, I like to go back to his famous measure of wealth to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society, but that's what we're doing. We see this with the woke left. Let's take that as an example, right? With all the sexualization of children, with the gender confusion, puberty blockers, right? Normalizing sexual pathologies, transgenderism, all of this. I'm not here to shame anyone, right? Do whatever you want to yourself. I don't care. But don't impose it and normalize it, especially the children. So this is being normalized. This is, I already see as an aspect of this Vatico virus, right? Who knows, for some people who have gender confusion, we know this as well. This is also a tricky topic that could trigger people, what they may be possessed by. You know, I've been reading lately this book, kind of, well, 1 second, actually. Yeah. This one, The Unquiet Dead, a psychologist treats spirit possession. You know, ties also into, I'm sure you have heard about William Baldwin's work, right? Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. And he also wrote a book, Spirit Releasement Therapy, about spirits, earthbound spirits, and other entities that can possess the person and can influence the sexual orientation of the person. So that's huge one as well. I'm not saying that everybody, you know, who has gender confusion is subjected to that, but that's, we need to consider that as well in light of the hyperdimensional matrix, as the other forces manipulating humans, interfering them, giving thought projections, you know, and kind of like imprint a whole different reality. Because the way I see it as the beginning, the aspect of these dark STS service to self and negative entities is the lack of creativity. That's almost their Achilles heel. So they need us, our vessels, to create their desired reality through us. And that's what we see. The whole pathology in the entertainment industry, Hollywood, film, and all of that, right? What we see also with big tech and all of that, and social media. You know, we see this also, Laura and I, we had an episode on that, even like now, this rising of cosmetic surgeries, Botox and lip fillers, and ever younger people that make themselves look like alien entities, literally, you know? It's really, and with all the filters and metaverse, and, you know, I had this video up the other day of this AI girl who people thought she was a real woman, you know? So that all ties in transhumanism. So we have been primed already to go down this route, right? That's what I'm trying to say, as you know. So this has been priming, even with the whole world cult, the neo-Marxist leftist cult. If you look back into that, you know, I don't know if you heard of a guy named Jay Dyer, an excellent researcher. He talked about how this already started back in the 30s with the Frankfurt School, Tavistock Institute, the infiltration from within. You know, that's why we see this in our educational institutions, academia, big tech. They further and support this woke ideology, which is really anti-divine, satanic. It goes against natural law. You can turn it. And it's also, by the way, I want to point this out. This is beyond left versus right, right? I'm not going to like... This is a whole, I think the left is now just being used by these forces more and more. I mean, the right has its own issues. They just project on each other. That's a whole different topic. But let's say that the conservatives have a more level-headed approach. But that's what I see happening, right? It's all interrelated with the woke cult, the COVID cult, right? The virtue signaling and all of that. And it's all leading to transhumanism. And transhumanism is the obsession with the material world, with the physical body, of extending life and just denying God and becoming God, you know, the depopulation agenda. You know, even with the vax, I see two main agendas. One is the depopulation agenda. You know, we have known this for a long time. They want less useless feeders on the planet. So they really want to kill off billions of people over time, right? There are already people now dying more than ever. I even saw research came out that the death rate of millennials has increased 200% in the last year, right? What is the reason for that? It's not COVID. No, it's the jab. You know, so because we know the on a physical level, the jab also destroys the immune system, causes more cancer, infertility, heart disease, and all of that. So more people will die off, right? And the second agenda is what we just talked about, is soul snatching, possession, and takeover of the human body. Right, to the zombification of humanity is necessary for the enslavement of humanity. So, and then you have transhumanism, right? That's also like I mentioned, one of the aspects Thomas Meyer found out. I'm looking through my research notes here. So based on Meyer's research out in his book, we can see four distinctive effects of the COVID vaccine on people. And he really goes deep into each vaccine as well, separately the four major ones. But generally speaking, number one, the soul, the real I, is being separated from the body. Number two, the vaccine creates holes in the astral energy body for other forces to come in. Number three, the human being becomes more strongly bound to matter, hardened in materialism and egoism, hence making the human reject spirituality in a divine God. Number four, it creates authoritarian followers who literally want to be told what to do, losing the guidance within. And these first two conditions obviously create entry points for these seraphic, azuric, hyperdimensional forces to take over the body. But it also creates a pathway for transhumanism, right? To embrace transhumanism, merge man with machine. That's for me, in my view, right now, that's the end goal of this hyperdimensional negative alien agenda. The completion of merging man with machine, completely expelling of the soul and taking over the physical body.
And the point you made earlier about the seratic entities within the vaccines as an ingredient. We know in the plant world that mystics, herbalists, what have you, over the ages, know that certain plants have, lack of a better term, a spirit attached to them, a personality, if you will. And this is a key component of the learning the craft of herbalism for a lot of these traditional shaman types, is they're in such communion with the plant intelligences that they learn from them, right? And this is a big part of one delves into the work of Carlos Castaneda, and the work he did under his mentor had a lot to do with plant medicine, right? So once again, we see the inversion of that with the pharmacopoeia aspect long before this became an issue. And I'm sure you've seen it in your work, Bernard. I was meeting people who were telling me that they got on these antipsychotics, or they got on this, that, or the other pharmaceutical, and like their whole world changed. They wound up in a mental fog. They can start seeing entities. All kinds of stuff was going on, right? And that's just oral pharmaceuticals. There's nothing that's been injected with all these nano operating systems that, that they've got now. So I want people to understand that it's an inversion. Once again, the Luciferian mentality of materialism, reductionism, that we are gods on earth and there is nothing to look forward to in any kind of an afterlife. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law right here on this planet. And if it feels good, do it. So everything seems to be geared up towards driving out the last vestiges of true organic spirit out of people. And for however much time they have left after they've taken these vaccinations, supplanting, because nature abhors a vacuum. So if someone is going to be empty in that regard, yes, these marauding entities of various stripes will come in. And I can't help but think about the, you know, Jerry Marzinski, the work he and Sherry Sweeney have done, where Jerry will be working with a prisoner, a psychotic patient in the prison system. And then on one occasion, this entity began speaking through him, right? Through the patient and told him all kinds of things. Basically, they have the right to do all this, that we have no right to interfere. This is their arena. And then Jerry tells other stories of how some of the meth patients that he worked with in the prison system, how the entities working through them, talking to them telepathically, were very specific about where they can go to rob houses and get cash, and where to go to get drugs. And so it bespeaks this vast understanding of all the moving parts of human society, how the ability of these entities, these intelligences, to see seemingly the beginning of the parade and the end of the parade, and how, because we've been in this almost linear two-dimensional existence all this time, how easy it is to manipulate human affairs individually and collectively. But there's the spiritual component, and also you touched on the fact that how we're being mass indoctrinated, even those of us against this agenda, with the Babylonian Talmudic perspective. Every time we see something new on Netflix or from Hollywood, there's always this social engineering aspect to it, whether it's gender confusion, gender bending, the feminization of manhood, et cetera, et cetera. And we really do see that the spirit world has now come out into the open, and we're seeing so many people come under the baneful influence of these, lack of a better term, malevolent spirits. And you know, the key going forward is, how does one gradually, incrementally detach ourselves from the spirit world, this Luciferian Babylonian world that they're trying to foist upon us? You got any thoughts in that regard?
No, that's the ultimate question. We need to also talk about the solution. In a nutshell, I also want to be clear, like, from, if you look at it from the bigger picture, light of the evolution of consciousness, everything serves as a teaching function in the end of the day, right? No matter how dire the situation. And it's now a chemical archetypal war of dark versus light. But I want to address something you just mentioned as well, because you made a very important point, and that's really important to understand. You know, we talked about the vaccine is injecting us people with these seratic beings and dislodging the soul. But this has been going on for eons. There are other ways they've done that, right? As you just mentioned, pharmaceuticals, psychoactive drugs, antidepressants, anti-anxiety, opiates, all of that, what millions of people on, even children, also creates entry points. These medicines, pharmaceuticals, even Thomas Meyer talks about that, these pharmaceuticals as well create not only entry points, they have, as Sri Aurobindo called, a force of illness, a force like a being within themselves, which then they ingest, right?
And just to hold that thought, Bernard, just to interject, but that is the basis of so much healing modalities in the shamanic ancient world is that illness can be a form of spiritual imposition. Please continue.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So that they understand that everything has a spirit, right? A malevolent good spirit, doesn't matter. Having said that, I have to say also, you know, part of my work, I've been also looking skeptically at the medicine shamanic world out there, right? Because if people can overdo it with the whole ayahuasca, DMT, psilocybin, cannabis, and that can also rapturally or create, bring in entities and all of that. I'm not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But medicine can be poison at the same time. Let's put it this way, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, quote unquote. But the pharmaceutical is also like that's been people have been primed already, right? It's not just the vaccine. And then you add on to that the pollution, you know, of our foods, of our water, chemtrails, 5G, Wi-Fi, EMF, all of this kind of the whole point of I've made a little video about this. The whole point is to disrupt, destroy the body, mind, spirit complex, right? To keep us sick. To create entry halls, also just through trauma. You know, Laura and I call this the Matrix Trauma Installment Program. What happened over the past 3 years, most people are not aware of it. They're deeply traumatized. Now just everything has more loosened up, but people are still, they don't even know they're traumatized, checked out, disassociated, addicted, you know. And, you know, when people react with trauma, they don't even know what's going on. There's a lot of denial.
Many are still wearing masks in areas that don't require it.
Yeah, and then we know masks are useless anyways, right? So, but we're all affected by it to varying degrees. Even myself and Laura, despite we've done a lot of work, we work, as you maybe know, have online courses going, work through deep work with people. We see what's happening, how people are affected, the disruption of families, friendships, like love, you know, this whole what's happening in the world. They're trying to destroy even the economies on purpose. This is not bad management. They're doing this on purpose, as you know, to make way for the Great Reset. Suicide rates have gone up. But all of this is part of this hyperdimensional agenda. And this trauma also creates entry points, right, for entities to come in. So it's not just a jab. So what is the way out, you're asking, right? So, and I always say, bring it back to what's been called in ancient times over the centuries, thousands of years, the great work. That's what it's all about. That's, you know, we're almost being forced to focus on, because that's the way I see the silver lining. You can externally focus and try to get, you know, be on social media and try to figure out intellectually and, you know, and all of that. That's fine and good. We have an understanding, but ultimately the best protection to everything is to bring back your soul embodiment. The more we connect to our soul essence, the less these forces can get to us and interfere. The more we heal the entry points and heal ourselves, the less this stuff has an effect on us. The more creative power we have, the more we can create a new timeline, a better world. That's really the deeper spiritual lesson. And the silver lining that I see, it forces a lot of people, many of us, to focus on what truly matters, right? Get your priorities straight in a sense. And as you know, excuse me, we have been this work for a long time. We know the modus operandi, so the path becomes more razor sharp. And what I mean by the great work, I want to demystify that as well. It's just really basic stuff. How, you know, am I checked out every day? Am I too much in my head? You know, how can I get more into body? How can I stay more in the present moment? How can I be more mindful, meditative, not to escape, but to really heal? If you truly meditate in a true way, stuff will come up. Trauma, wounds, childhood wounds, our shadow work is key, and all of that basic psychological work is so necessary to stay embodied, to stay grounded, to, you know, so we can separate what am I and what are other forces maybe coming in, thought injections and all of that. So it's twofold. It's the what Laura and I call the fourfold approach of holistic self-work on all levels. You got to take care of your physical body, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. That's really what it comes down to. And it also entails the inner work and the outer work, right? Understanding what's happening in the world in the context of the bigger picture. But ultimately, I see what's happening right now couldn't be any other way, right? We have always gone along with it because we agreed to go along with it, right? You know how the Matrix works. They have to also, in the sense, respect free will. The agenda only goes if people go along with it, you know, basic Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. So people will fully go along with the agenda that's against their best interest. So we need not only wake up to the agenda, understand what the agenda is, and also by understanding, like you mentioned, that's the aim, the intention, the goal, the full takeover. It doesn't mean that they're able to go through with it. That's really important to understand. I see too many people in the so-called truth movement totally falling into doom and gloom, right? The nihilistic, we're fucked and all of that. Everything is a trap, prison. There's no way out. No, there is, right? But it requires immense self-responsibility and struggle to really face yourself, to take that self-responsibility, to do this work. And it's not easy work. I see it with myself, with the people we work and all of that. But that's ultimately the goal, right? To connect, to bring God into the picture, spirit, to anchor the divine, to carry the light as spiritual warriors. But again, it's not easy work. It's not, we know it. It's not about trying to convince people intellectually, sending information or just posting stuff. Yeah, we can plant some seeds in awareness, but this intellectual understanding of what's happening is not enough. And the mind cannot fully comprehend it anyway. So the way I see it with all these forces, entities, you know, I'm aware of it, but I don't get caught up in that. I focus on the work, what needs to be done within myself to stay grounded, connect to my essence, to my true soul. You mentioned Castaneda, Don Juan, he made a great analogy, right? He said, the more we, you know, when we're in this lower frequency and haven't worked on our stuff, our, as he called it or symbolized, our code of awareness is at the level of the toe, like very low. And that's when the predator comes in and takes us over because we have no protection shield. The more we engage in the great work and soul embodiment, right, which is making the darkness conscious, it's the descent into the underworld. It's not just about meditating in peace and thinking love and light and all of that. That's that deeper inner work that heals our wounds. That's how we truly raise our frequency, the true meaning of the word, not like new age distortion. And that's how we create our protection, right? The more we increase our level of being soul embodiment, naturally we vibrate at a different frequency. We clear close the entry point and naturally these forces can get to us. Literally, we're invisible to them. It's not a frequency match. So that's what the work is to be done. And then you can engage in all kinds of protection mechanisms and people run to, you know, to all kinds of people offering entity removals and all of this is a whole topic in itself, a lot of nonsense out there. But all this is useless if the entry points are not healed. And also I have to say on that note, you know, I've talked to Eve Lorgan, our good friend and colleague, about this as well. She's also deep into this work. You know, and since this topic of entities and interferences, attachments, arcanic has become more popular, as you know, the past few years, a lot of people get into paranoia. They see entities where, frankly, there are no entities. I've worked with many people, you know, they realized, no, you have to be, let me backtrack. You have to be in an extreme level, high level of being, like Thomas Meyer said, I've done a lot of work on yourself, really study meditative practices, deep work on your shadows, to really able to perceive these entities directly. So you don't mistake your own shadow aspects, your own trauma, your own thought projections for entities, which still many people do. I've worked with hundreds of people who thought they had all kinds of 20, 30 entities coming and I'm possessed by an archon and this left and right. But in deeper work, you know, it was very humbling for them. What they realized, no, there was just their childhood trauma that needed to work on it. You know, these entry points, which maybe these entities exaggerate. But, you know, the trap I see, and Laura and I have seen this a lot with when people get in this topic, then they start to externalize and blame entities and see entities everywhere. When in fact, the solution is just, no, the work is very simple within yourself, right? We need to be the warrior in the storm and stay embodied, clear ourselves or heal our entry points. And that's really the antidote, so to speak. And then we have more access to our creativity, more to our inner guidance, more to divine will, and we know more what to do. And then that's how we have true aspect, true positive effect on the world to create a new timeline.
And so much of it, as you pointed out, the foundation of so much of it is a shame-based upbringing, shame-based traumatic, indeed karmic, you know, upbringing. How many times in our past incarnations have we been subjected to trauma, to shame, to abuse, and what have you, and that was still unresolved, and whammo, we wind up, you know, here on Earth again. And when you look at the, you know, the shame-based upbringing, that in itself will make it difficult unless someone makes a conscious effort to want to stay embodied, because all the body modification, I'm not making a value judgment, I'm talking about the more extreme examples of body modification in our example, are outward projections of this self-loathing of themselves because of whatever unresolved trauma within. It's almost like a purging kind of thing that they're doing with the body modification and all of that. So that, I know I have you know, challenges. I'm a work in progress, so I have to work hard to stay embodied, because I know from personal experience and also discussions with many others that the headspace, the mental arena can be the happy hunting ground of these entities, and also of our own thought loops, not necessarily generated by the entities, but our own self-doubt, yeah, our own, unresolved issues, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see extreme examples of this, where the virtual world is a big deal now. I've never been one into jumping on the trends or whatever, but I can't say I was shocked, but I was, and I wasn't surprised either, but I was somewhat taken aback when I read these accounts of women donning the 3D virtual gear and then going into these virtual spaces, and then just suddenly they'd be sexually assaulted. Their avatars would be groped and fondled. And then it dawned on me why that was happening, because all these males that were in these virtual environments, that was how they related to women, through porn and through societal programming, Luciferian societal programming. That softness, that kindness was gone. They just saw like orifices there instead of an avatar, right? And so they did what the entities and what their programming did normalize for them, and they just start assaulting these avatars of women. And so I can't say I was surprised, but I was disappointed, to be sure. You know, some people, they don these, you know, virtual headgear things, and you think they're just going to play a game. No, they're like the predators. It's just an outward projection. What we're seeing also in the so-called truth community is all the fact-checking going on, where all these truthers are just standing up on a soapbox and saying, this person's disinfo, controlled op, that is a psyop, that's not real, you know, grassroots upliftment and hope and that's all just a loose frenzy. It's all just a psyop. I saw it on The Simpsons, right? So what we're seeing also is a lot of this unresolved trauma being projected out. And what these people in the truth community have to understand is, if they're desperate to be leaders, but first they must be someone worthy of being followed. And the potential malign influence they have, may have on others, where they're interfering in a very real way with other people's decision-making process and other people's free will, just by assuming the mantle of being a leader, although they may not call themselves such, and then making all these proclamations. So this is a psyop, this person's controlled op, and I think a lot of it has to do with frustration, that it's, they really can't lash out at the control system itself, right? So they have to find some other worthy target, and it turns out to be just people, you know, with grassroots upliftment, cheering on, you know, trucker convoys in the frozen waste of Canada, right? I mean, that's supposed to be a loosh fest. That doesn't mean that the people, somehow all their hope, all their upliftment, their cheering and their goodwill towards themselves, towards the truckers, all that's invalidated, right? Because somebody makes this pronouncement, though, that whole thing is a big distraction, when it really is just people standing up for the rights and giving these archons a collective big FU, right? Whether they realize it or not. So I just thought I'd get that out there too.
No, totally, James. I mean, you made some incredible points. I want to address both of them. First of all, yes, especially now, again, you and me, we've been this for 20 hours. You've been, I mean, remember coming across your work already in the 90s and all of that. So we've been in this game for a long time. And I'm not saying that we have figured it all out, far from it. Like, the more I know, the less I know, but it comes more refined. But now, yeah, it's really fascinating, because there has been this, like I mentioned before, more people have become quote unquote red pill. You talk about topics nobody took seriously. But with that, there has been a lot of nonsense and oversimplification. I even wrote an article earlier this week called Controlled Opposition and the Truth Moving, exactly calling that out, what you said, that every nowadays, whatever people don't agree with, they call it right away controlled opposition, shill, PSYOP, you know what I mean? I mean, I have in Valencia, the trucker convoy is a PSYOP controlled op. Joe Rogan is a shill controlled op. David Icke is controlled op. Dr. Malone is a shill controlled op. Jordan Peterson is controlled op. Trump Q is a PSYOP controlled op. Bitcoin is a PSYOP op. You are controlled op. I have been called controlled opposition, PSYOP, disinformation agent, all of this, right? This extreme black and white view, right? You can disagree. Like, I'm not saying that I'm always right and know the truth and I'm always right. I'll go back and adjust my views, but it's way more nuanced. It's not that black and white anymore. Everybody plays certain roles. Even what's happening, you know, if look at example, Elon Musk, and you see two camps. One people like, oh my God, he's calling out the woke. He's taking over Twitter and free speech. That's awesome. And then the other side, no, no, he's a transhumanist, you know, AI proponent, you know.
Hold that thought. I just wanted to make the point that, you know, like, like we're not allowed to be happy or at least somewhat satisfied that he's driving all these leftards crazy, right? It's like, yes, I know that he has supposedly this agenda implant everyone with a neural implant. He's not going to do it to me, right? He's not going to do it to any of my family. So why should I care? So if he continues doing what he's doing and driving all these leftards crazy, I'm not going to get in his way. I think it's hilarious, but that's just me. Exactly. I don't see anything beyond that. You see what I mean? Because I don't let anything that doesn't have a direct impact on me impact me.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And I agree. And he's such a master troll. I mean, Laura did his astrology chart. He has apparently Venus in Gemini, which means he's like, his trolling creatures is fucking hilarious to me. You know what I mean? That just cracks me up. So I also like, you know, in the past, I've written an article that he's a wolf in sheep clothing. You cannot trust him. But now, like, I've also want to like be humble myself in the sense of like, maybe I don't know what his role really is. I don't think it's going to turn around, but maybe it's not that black and white. You know what I mean? Like we have these hard definitions of this is good, this is bad. Yes. This guy is good. This is evil. Like, who am I to judge where this judgment comes from? Is mostly that's what you said.
Yeah. Another lightning rod is Vladimir Putin. And look, I'm not going to hitch my wagon to Vlad. I'm not going to, you know, attach my destiny to his, although, you know, unlike in other scenarios where they could just bully boy some small country that was defenseless, this is a whole nother issue entirely. But, you know, I'm not saying he's not controlled opposition. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but it's like he seems to be doing a lot of things from a new world order perspective wrong. He doesn't allow Sharia to take root. He's basically outlawed all the woke LGBTQ social engineering in his country. You know, I mean, if that's controlled opposition, I think we need more of that. But that's just me, because I tend to look at things. I take the good with the bad. Right.
Yeah.
I don't make a value judgment of it, because again, we are responsible for our own destiny and whatever connection we can derive from highest source. Right. Yeah. So for me to cast blame and say, well, Putin's controlled opposition, I'm not buying a word into that. He's all just playing a role. That's just too much. That is a distraction. That's pulling me in directions that I don't need to go. You know, because I'm my own intelligence agency. I sit back and I watch and I observe, and then I make decisions that work best for me. And my decisions and my thinking is not cast in stone. I have absolutely the right to go 180 degrees on any subject that I may have been vehemently, you know, a certain standpoint in the past. I have enough mental flexibility to say, you know, there's nuance here. Like you said, there's shades of gray that need to be recognized. I may not understand all the nuances, but there's something else going on here.
Yeah, no, well said. I think absolutely agree. I think mostly of these blanket statements from this is control of these people, mostly I see this as like the peanut gallery by people who never really do any work out themselves. They're just like whatever commenting from the behind the screen. I have no, you know what I mean? And what is it based on? What is the proof? It's easy to make these statements. I've gone through the same. Remember, I wrote an article, like an essay over 2 years or 3 years ago about Trump and Q, seeing like some validity in there. Like, oh my God, the backlash I experienced, not only from the right, from the left, from the consensus mainstream, but from the truth community, even people mutual friends of ours or ex-friends of mine, so to speak, getting all me calling me controlled or disinformation agent when I try to give a more nuanced view, because there's something to it's really fascinating. It's maybe not black and white. Doesn't mean that I full-on support Trump and like I'm a Trumpy now and all of that, but it's more nuanced, and that people miss that, right? Because we never know what where it's all leading to. And we need, you know, that's exactly for that, because you can get, if you're trying to figure this thing out mentally, you're going to get lost. It's impossible, right? You never know what leads to what. We have this egoic mindset, and I'm not taking myself out of the equation. Sometimes I had very specific views on one view thing, but then, you know, I had to eat humble cake many times, like, oh, maybe I was wrong about this. And, you know, just because you and I have certain views that oppose others' views doesn't mean that we are controlled up. It's just a different opinion. So we can still have different opinion without calling each other controlled up. This is just insane nowadays. What's happening.
I look at it from also from I don't know if grassroots perspective is accurate, but let me give an example. Because I'm kind of a nostalgic type, right? And so I joined these Facebook groups because the content of what, like classic baseball or American football, 1960s, 1970s, or classic NBA, 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, right? So it kind of takes me back, and also similar like classic rock Facebook groups, right? And it never ceases to amuse me just how easily triggered some people are. And generally speaking, I'm not making a blanket generic statement here, generalization. But sports fans, they're just not really switched on to what's going on in the world, right? Likewise, a lot of music aficionados, more so in the music field than in the sports aficionado field, not many people in the music world are really switched on either, right? So when I'm in these groups, I'm just trying to put myself in kind of a space where, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember this. I remember that. Brings back these feel-good memories, you know what I mean? But from my boyhood, it's oftentimes spoiled by these people who just get so triggered. Like, for example, you know, Pete Rose, the American baseball player who was, you know, convicted of being a gambler, right? And, you know, when he was a manager for a baseball team, it just, all someone's got to do is just type in Pete Rose should be in the, should he be in the Hall of Fame? And all this unhealed angst just unleashed. You know, it's like, and there's no civility. It's like you're dealing with a bunch of leftards, and all I'm trying to do is get myself into this nostalgic state where I remember, you know, 1972, the Oakland A's. Oh, that was a great time to live in the Bay Area if you were a baseball fan. You know what I mean? But instead, it's spoiled by these people who just have no impulse control. And every once in a while, like, I'll chime in and, you know, I'll just, you know, just from a purely logical, historical perspective, I'll write a few things, right? Just to calm people down. You know what I mean? But generally, you liken that to what we're seeing in the so-called truth community, how triggers, Putin, Trump, Elon Musk, the lack of impulse control.
Yeah.
Where these people, Bernard, presumed to be leaders, but they're not even in control of themselves. That's the irony behind it.
Yeah, that kind of mentioned, and that's, you know, I've talked to my wife, Laura, like, you know, what do we value in life? And like she said something very important, what do you value in another person? A person is just, if a person can be self-aware. So that's why I'm also become disillusioned with the so-called truth community, because most, from what I see, there's this lack of what you mentioned, impulse control, triggers, projections, no shadow work, not understanding of how to do shadow work, trauma work, and it's ongoing. I've been doing this for 30 years and I'm still like uncovering more and more. Even like what you talked about, I want to, maybe we can address in a second about shame. I'm uncovering like there's a lot of unconscious shame we all carry, right? And create this false self and kind of trying to externalize everything, project our shit externally. I see there's a lot happening in the so-called truth movement. You know, there's this lack of self-awareness not complete lack understanding how shadow work works with our projections and triggers, right? And I'm not taking myself out of the equation. Sometimes I get triggered, but I can at least then recognize it, own it. Okay, my shadow came out in this very moment. I need to use it as a teaching function to take responsibility without projecting my shit on others, right? So that's really what it comes down to. That's why I'm like, I don't see myself as part of any movement, right? I mean, don't call me like I'm not part of a health movement, no truth movement, no movement, no nothing for me, you know? And I see even like, I live now in Arizona, more in a rural area, like cowboy America, and I like it. And some of these, you know, very basic, what I would judge in the past of just American in the Middle West, Midwest gun toting with their flags, they're one of the most grounded, you know, loving people, more self-aware, more like embodied a lot of these truth movement people who have maybe some sort of intellectual understanding concept of what, how the matrix may work, right?
Yes. The down to earth people, and this is going to trigger a lot of people. And of course, it's not a blanket statement because there's different denominations, everything else. But in a general sense, some of the most grounded, switched on people that you feel this instant kinship with are Christians. And that triggers the hell out of people when you say this, that you know, they're for the family, they're patriotic, they don't want any of this woke crap, that, you know, they want to keep it out of the schools. So, you know, I think naturally what we do is we, I wouldn't say align ourselves with, but we can have, like, from a mutual heart-centered vibe standpoint, we can relate to certain people, like the cowboy type, you know, personality that you describe. And you know, one quick point, and then you know, we'll end this first segment. The whole reason we brought this up, and the whole reason I had, you know, Bernard come on and share all this information, is increasingly, again, I don't want to create an atmosphere of fear and trepidation around this, because people like Bernard and I and Laura have been dealing with this for quite some time. But we're going to start seeing more and more inroads from the spirit world, right? What David Bohm called the implicate order will be more and more making its presence felt. And, you know, when they crank up the 5G, who knows what that will do to the fabric of space-time. We already have CERN and all these other issues to deal with, right? So this is why it's important to not just look at this from a materialist reductionist perspective. Oh, we're just up against some power mad, you know, banker families, right? Well, it's what's working through these power mad banking families that we have to focus our attention on. The personas, the hybridized beings themselves are just the vehicle, as you pointed out. So anyhow, could you give our viewers and listeners your website and contact information, Bernard?
Yeah. Thank you, James. People can all find all my material, my writings, videos, and also a podcast I host with my wife, Laura, called the Cosmic Matrix Podcast, where James has been on as well. My website is veilofreality.com. That's V-E-I-L of reality.com. Lots of material on there. Podcasts. Also, there's some courses we offer. I mean, Laura and I, we've done already this course 8 or 9 times, a 12-week in-depth private coaching program called Time of Transition Embodied Soul Awakening, where we go deeper into this fourfold approach of holistic self-work, inner and outer work, psychological, psycho-spiritual work, in context of what's happening in the world, understanding occult forces, how to really protect ourselves, how to heal ourselves. So we go on this journey for 12-week in-depth. And the next round will start in the end of July. So you can find that under courses on my website. And apply for that. It's only limited to 40 people. And that's that. Yeah, everything is on my website. You can find all the information there. As I just shared with James, I'm in the process of writing an in-depth article about the more deeper metaphysical spiritual consequences of the corona vaccine based on Thomas Meyer's work. On that note, I've been in contact with him, by the way, and he's working, or they are working, on a English translation of his book. The full book in English will be released most likely later this summer. So those are good news. So this is definitely something everybody should read, in my view.
Oh, that's great. And for our viewers and listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the member segment.